Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Renew Church. Glad to be back with you guys. Last weekend, my family and I, we were down in Southern California celebrating my grandma's 80th birthday, which was super fun. She's kind of a matriarch in our family and also in her church. So there were 100 people all packed into a church fellowship hall waiting to spring this on her when my poor sick grandmother, who was dragged to the event as a surprise by my stepdad, came walking in, surprised. She cried, so we did our job, check. So, but anyway, we missed you guys, and glad to be back. Hey, so January 10th was our one-year anniversary as a church together, gathering on Sunday mornings. And so praise the Lord for the first year of his being faithful to us as a church. So, yeah. Pretty exciting to see all that God did in just one year. For just a moment, I want to just take a look back and to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for so much of what he did for us. About December of last year, we still, even like right up to Thanksgiving, we were still praying, like, Lord, could you give us a place to be? We had a desire to meet on Sundays, but had no place. We had been knocking on several doors and got a whole lot of sorry, but no thanks. From several people who we had hoped to rent from, and then Heart Ransom very lovingly opened up the doors, and since then has been an incredible partnership for us. In fact, Patrick Hess and I were here last week visiting with the superintendent, talking about some ways that we might be able to partner together to make this relationship even better, and they're just crazy open. I mean, the superintendent was crawling up into some crawl spaces up here looking for ways we might be able to run some wiring inside of the place. I mean, they're just excited to have us here, which is just wonderful. This is not normal for schools to be excited about churches meeting in their facilities, and so praise the Lord for that. And then we also needed a bunch of gear. We said, Lord, would you please bless us with the equipment that we need? And then God plunked into our laps this trailer packed filled with gear that every church planner would dream of. And our church was outfitted with most of this gear that you're looking at for an insanely reduced price, $11,000 on a trailer and sound equipment and video equipment, all of which we had earmarked to spend something like four times that to get like half the gear. So crazy expressions of God's faithfulness. And then we know it's kind of like the dog chasing the car. We finally get the building and we finally get the gear. And then we're like, okay, well, we're going to need an army of people to make this thing work. And then praise the Lord, you guys came out in full force and have volunteered in so many different ways. And so thank you to all of you who are supporting what we're doing here through Renew Kids, through our worship teams, out there in the parking lot, serving with hospitality, serving as life group leaders. I mean, there is an army, a village of people that make this church a reality. And so truly a blessing for the facility, for all the equipment, for all of the people that we needed. God had been and has been faithful. We prayed that God would make this church a relationally connected church. That's something I think that all churches want to be, but many churches struggle with. And so we said, Lord, would you make Renew Church the kind of place where people are truly in relationship with each other? We want to grow as Christians, and we can't do that unless we have other Christians in our lives who are praying for us, speaking into our lives, and then kicking us in the rear end when we need it. And by default, as Americans, we just don't get into those kinds of relationships. We're very independent, and we like to live life kind of on our own terms. And so we said, Lord, would you help us be that kind of church? And so now we have 11 life groups this year that are banding together on a weekly basis to see that God is building these kinds of relationships, which is incredible. And we still got more room to grow, but that's something to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for. We also prayed that as a church, even at the very beginning, that we would have an opportunity to make a difference locally. We were a spoiled brat of a brand new church, and we're on the receiving end of so much love and so much generosity by so many other churches and leaders and organizations in town who were letting us bum their equipment or bum their spot to pray or help us with logistics and planning or helping us network in the community. And so we said, Lord, you have showered so much love on us locally. Help us to be a church that doesn't just hoard all that like spoiled children, but gives that out and makes a difference in the community. And so we made baby steps in that direction. Again, so much more room to grow, but we got a chance to partner with the Modesto Marathon to host an aid station out here. I'll never forget, if Trump can run, so can you. That sign will forever be burned into my mind. But we got a chance to be right here in our community, serving the community via a water aid station. We partnered with Love Modesto, and as a church, we're serving in various ways, doing cleanup projects and serving our city. We had opportunities to serve with the gospel mission this year, blessing the kids down there with donations just this Christmas season. Had opportunities to support organizations like Athletes for Adoption and the Modesto Pregnancy Center, helping sponsor them in their efforts to raise funds to complete their mission that God's given them. You may not know this, but we also helped support Calvary Chapel of Manteca. We had one of our small groups got hooked up with them. Calvary Manteca moved from a facility out kind of on the west side of town into a more downtown centrally located facility, one that they had hoped to get into several years ago and were told no, and now God's granted them the desire of their hearts. They got to move there, but they needed all sorts of help and they needed money, and we were able to provide both in the form of a life group getting down there to serve and us being able to help sponsor them to be able to buy things like chairs for their facility. So really cool with that. And then this year also got to partner with Celebrate Hope down in Turlock in an effort to bring the good news of Jesus to the Central Valley. So for our first year as a church, that's a whole lot of amazing. I mean, praise the Lord for that and answering our prayers. We began relationships with a couple of international efforts, John Grover and his efforts in Cambodia and his ministry called Cambodia Impact. John, who's been here at the church with his wife, Linda, have been serving in Cambodia, building orphanages and setting up opportunities for people in the communities where they minister to get training vocationally, and really exciting efforts there. You'll be getting a chance to learn more about John and what he's doing soon, but we were praying, Lord, would you build some bridges between us and some partnerships that you'd like to see us build? And so out of those prayers came that relationship with John and Cambodia Impact, as well as Dave and Katie Boone down in Nicaragua with ESVO Ministries. And so baby steps, but steps nonetheless. So an incredible first year together. Other highlights, we baptized 11 people, which I'd love to see that number quadruple this year, but praise the Lord for that. We enjoyed our first church picnic down at the Bonds, and so lots more of that to come. We hosted our first concert, and kind of repeating that tonight with Citizens Way, but hosted our first church camp, which was a great success, and so looking forward to doing that again this summer, and then hosted our first annual Happy Birthday Jesus Party. By far one of the greatest highlights of the year. And so lots to be thankful for. Also wanted to mention that this last year we received over $380,000 in donations, which is incredible, and so praise the Lord for that. And here at the church, we talk openly about money, let's say that. We don't want people to come here with their wallets, you know, kind of tucked away saying, they're not getting my money, you know, or that's what this is all about, it's all about money. But we also don't want this to be the kind of church where nobody knows anything about how money's spent or what leaders are doing. And so here shortly, we'll be giving kind of an annual recap of how money was spent last year and what we're looking to do with it next year. But just wanted to at least say this morning, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for all of that. So praise the Lord. And yeah, you can clap for that. We still have so much to be intentional about as a church. The standard way of things is that a new organization starts with all sorts of new ideas and new energy and new, and then as new becomes not so new, the energy and the vision and the mission start to fade. And what used to be core commitments can kind of become great stories from the past, and we don't want that to be the case. And so every year we want to stand before the Lord as a church and say, God, what do you want to do through our lives? How can we be truly a light for the name of Jesus in our community? How can we do a better job of being in relationship with each other? And how can we do a better job of practically making a difference in the community? And so this is going to be a year of us saying, Lord, would you show us, lead us, guide us, empower us, and call us and challenge us to do and to be all of those things. Do want to make mention real quick before we get into the Bible study that tonight we are going to be partnering with Redeemer to host a concert, Citizen Way. And Ben Calhoun and his team are back. This will actually be my first time getting to hear them as a full band. We've had Ben here just recently, just him and his daughters, which wasn't that the coolest thing in the whole wide world to see his girls up here singing with him. And then before that, they were here for a concert, and then they came to lead worship without their drummer. So they've got their drummer back with them. So tonight will be my first chance to hear them live as a full band, which will be great. But that concert starts at 6 o'clock downtown, 9th and H at the downtown Modesto at Redeemer. And so plan to join us. It'll be a great evening. Concert's free. And so invite as many people as you'd like, and hoping for that to be a great night. Let's stand together now and grab our Bibles, and let's turn to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations this morning. And if you need a Bible this morning, there's some men coming down the aisles right now with Bibles. And if you just raise your hand, they will get you a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, then we'd love to give that Bible to you. So take it home and make it yours. Lamentations. I'm really depressed, so we're going into a weepy book. I'm kidding. Lamentations is a book. It is a sorrow-filled cry of one of God's prophets of the state of the nation of Israel. But in the middle of this kind of woe-filled, emo kid kind of book is this incredible celebration of God's faithfulness. And so Lamentations 3, we're going to pick it up this morning at verse 22. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 22, it says this: "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Let's pray together. Well, Father, we turn to you now and say thank you for all of the grace and all of the favor that you poured out on us as a church this last year. And for each of us individually, as a church, we have our stories. As families and as men and women, we each have our own stories of where you proved yourself faithful and true and gracious beyond measure. And it's a fitting thing for us at the beginning of a new year to stop and to look back and to say thank you. And now, Lord, as we as a church spend some time here looking into the word of your prophet, and we spend time considering your faithfulness, I pray that you would help us to that our minds would just be so filled to overflowing with reminders of how in our very recent history you have proven yourself to be faithful to us in ways that we could never imagine. And that would compel us to praise you and to take great confidence in you. And that would give us freedom and an ambition to follow you in the things that you call us to this year. We need that as a church. We need that as men and women. And so, Lord, would you do that this morning as we look to you. Give us ears to hear and give me lips to speak, and pray that you would make much of Jesus through our time together in his word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. One of the interesting experiences, if you've never had it before, it's a great way to approach getting to know the Lord through the Bible, is looking at the different character attributes of God in the Bible. You get to know him kind of like you get to know a person and his personality and his character and who he is and what he's like. And there are all sorts of books and devotionals geared to help highlight the character and the traits of God. And got to be on the top three list of every Christian, of every book, of every Bible study that's built on understanding the character and the nature of God would be God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is something that has captured the hearts and the love and the respect of his people since people began first walking with him. God's faithfulness, his unswerving devotion to those who follow him, has become something that's become like a bedrock of security to those who find themselves struggling through life's challenges. It becomes a source of strength and ambition to those who want to walk with God in faith. And God truly wants us to know that he's faithful and to live infused with the kind of influence and the kind of powerful, life-shaping, transforming power that comes when we really do believe that the God who made us is going to be faithful to us as we live and walk with him. One of my favorite songs of all times is Sarah Groves' He's Always Been Faithful. Most of the time, I'm more into like the upbeat, really fun, celebratory hymns, but punk rock kind of music. But every now and then, a good old ballad is really, really good too. And one of those ballads written by singer-songwriter Sarah Groves has become kind of an anthem for my life. And in seasons when I'm, you know, doing really well and everything's kind of perky, peachy keen, jelly bean, if you know what I mean, I can oftentimes be looking for other things to be celebrating. But when life is challenging or hard or uncertain, the theme of God's faithfulness becomes like the best thing in my life. And this song becomes a song for me. I'll sing it, I'll pray it, I'll read it, I'll write it, I'll listen to it. And the song goes like this. Just listen to it. Think about, how does this impact you? Think about these themes. Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and the comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch him amazed, in awe of the mystery of his perfect ways. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He has always been faithful to me. I can't remember one trial or pain that he didn't recycle to bring me gain. And I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting his hand. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He has always been faithful to me. You see, it's doing something to you, isn't it? So she sings, this is my anthem, this is my song, the theme of the stories I've heard for so long, that God has been faithful and he will be again. His loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He has always been faithful to me. God's faithfulness is a blessing. It's a gift that God intends for us to believe and to be fueled by as we look back at the experiences that we've lived through, as we look forward to the things that he's calling us to, and as we right now live in the experience of the present, as beautiful or complex as it may seem. Our life is meant to be undergirded and fueled by a very present belief in God's unending faithfulness to us. Here in Lamentations, as we're reading this morning, we're looking into the heart of a man by the name of Jeremiah. And he was called by God into one of the most challenging callings in human history. You know, usually when somebody asks us to do something, it's because they want us to succeed at something. They say, hey, you know what? I need this done. You've got the skill set to do it. Could you do this for me? And that way we can get this done. Kind of a different picture for Jeremiah. God tells Jeremiah, I have a nation that's wayward. My people, Israel, they're ignoring me. They're drifting from me. They're not paying any attention to me. And as a result, if they don't turn, I'm going to end up having to discipline them. And I want you to be my man to go and tell them. And oh, by the way, they're not going to listen to you. And you're going to spend not just a few weeks, not just a few months, but 40 years telling the nation to turn back to me, only to find that they won't. And at the end of those 40 long years of you telling them, if you don't turn, you're going to be conquered by a nation. If you don't turn, your capital will be destroyed. If you don't turn, your temple will be dismantled. At the end of 40 long, hard years of doing what God had asked him to do, Jeremiah then witnesses the very thing he had prophesied. Babylon comes and destroys their capital and dismantles their temple and leads their people away captive. And so here in this book, we're reading his response to watching God do what he said he would do. And it is tearing him to pieces. He's watching a nation that he loves, his nation, just be torn to shreds, all because they just wouldn't heed the Lord's cry to them to return. And yet, though his heart is broken, yet though his life is just very uncertain and shattered, he then takes a moment to stop and lift his head above the rubble and begin to celebrate and to praise God for his faithfulness. It's an incredible testimony to the power of God's faithfulness, that even when life is literally in rubble, we can lift our eyes to heaven and find grace and strength to continue on as we seek God and consider his faithfulness. So here at the beginning of this year, it's right for us to look back as a church or as just individuals and say, wow, God, you have been faithful this year. But also to look ahead and say, God, you will be faithful. Help me to trust you and live as if that's true. And so God wants us to know that he's faithful. He wants us to live under the influence of his faithfulness. And so that's what we'll be looking at this morning, is God's great faithfulness. Let's look at verse 22, where Jeremiah begins. He says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. As Jeremiah begins celebrating God's faithfulness, he's kind of doing in his own heart what I do on a regular basis when I am struggling to trust the Lord, or when I am struggling to just not be overwhelmed and spastic and stressed by the circumstances of my life. He is forcing his heart to grab hold of things that are true, truer than the circumstances around him. And he begins celebrating God's faithfulness. And as soon as he starts thinking about God's faithfulness, he immediately thinks of God's love. He says, God's faithful love never ends. His love will never fade. His love will never crack under the pressure of our unfaithfulness. His love for us will never grow cold. You and I are used to seeing relationships change by the way we treat them. Most of us probably have friends who we don't speak to anymore, not because they're knuckleheads, but because we're knuckleheads. We've watched our being very selfish or being very stupid or foolish in a moment, and watching those things affect relationships. And so we bring that same experience into our relationship with God. And so we get very insecure when we realize that here's this God who loves us and is faithful. He made us. He sent his son to save us. And then we're unfaithful to him. We find new ways every day to blow it, right? And so we bring the baggage of past relationships into this relationship with God and wonder, could somebody like this God truly still love me and be faithful to me, even though I've been unfaithful to him? And here's Jeremiah, a prophet, writing about God who his people have sinned against for generations and are now being led away into captivity as a result of it. And here he is proclaiming, listen, we might be unfaithful, but our God's love is faithful. His love is faithful all the way to the end. You might have people in your life who have expressed some interest in you at some level, a mentor, maybe a coworker, a boss, somebody who, for whatever reason, their attention, maybe it was romantic, their attention just sparked a kind of new vitality to your life, but you were crushed only to find out that that interest faded with time. You know, they thought they knew who you were, but then they really figured out who you were, and then that interest faded. Here's the crazy thing about our God. His interest in us is not a fleeting thing. He knows the glorious or inglorious reality. He knows the whole package about each one of us when he begins his relationship with us. And his love for us will not fade as he gets to know us more. His love for us, it never ends. The kind of love our God has for us is the kind of love we want to commit to our family. You know, I want to look at my children and say, I will love you with an unbending love for the rest of your life. But the truth is, there are moments when that love is tested. There are seasons when my selfishness gets impacted by theirs. And as David Boone so eloquently put it, you know, this couple of weeks ago when he was here, you know, my kids start here and I bring it to another level with my selfishness. Our God, he commits himself to us with a kind of love that truly will last forever. That's the faithfulness of our God. Do you know that your God loves you, that the one who made you, that he loves you? It's not just like a weird Christian kind of God in heaven. He's love, so he has to love you. I mean, he's God, right? So it'd kind of be a bum deal if he wasn't loving. I mean, he really, truly, he cares about you, knows the number of hairs on your head, knows every experience that you are currently experiencing and will experience. He knows all your failures. He knows every potential he's put inside of you. He knows every great thing you've done for which you're excited. He knows every dark deed for which you're ashamed. And he loves you. And here this prophet, here our father is saying, I want you to believe that. Believe that my love is going to be faithful. You can't sin your way out of it because you couldn't have stopped sinning your way into it. We didn't start getting loved by God because we became lovable. You know, it's not like, all right, you were a punk, but then you started acting right. And so I started to decide to bring you into my life. And now you better be, you know, better watch out. You better not cry. Or it isn't like that. We were undeserving when we began a relationship with him. So there's no need for us to fear that our sin would somehow get us voted off the island of his love for us. We may die unfaithful to him, but we will die with him being faithful to us. His love will never end. Let's go to verse 22. He says here, his mercies never cease. So his love, his faithful love is unending, and his mercies, they never cease. What are God's mercies? His mercies is his patience towards us. We do sin against the Lord, and his mercy is when he withholds the just punishment that we deserve for our sins. And it's more than his patience with us, it's his faithfulness to forgive us. He doesn't just, you know, not smother us with the justice that we deserve. Yeah, I don't know if you had anybody in your life who was a stuffer. I had a stuffer in my life growing up. I won't name the woman out of respect for her, but I love her dearly. You might be able to intimate who I might be speaking of, but my person was the kind of person who she would stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, some people, that's their perspective of God. Oh, he's merciful, but you just better get your act together because, you know, you blow it once, blow it twice, blow it three times, kaboom. God doesn't work like that with us. His mercies never cease. He really has patience, with us. You know, we all have fuses. They vary in length. I generally have a long fuse. this last several years, learned about my views, how I have varying lengths of views for different people in my life. All of you, I probably have a fuse a mile long. You could probably do a lot of things before you could even begin to irritate me. But if you happen to be related to me, or one of my children, my fuse, for some reason, it's like, yitty-bitty little space. And it's crazy that way. But our God, he brings us in close and then has this fuse so long, we'll never get to the end of it. He'll never just in a moment flash and give us what we deserve, because in a moment in human history 2,000 years ago, he poured out everything we deserve in a very measured way on his son. His fuse for justice was satisfied when he ran his son through with a just punishment for our sins. And so now when he deals with us, his sons, his daughters, he deals with us on the basis of his mercy. This invincible, unflinching, patient, forgiving love for us. It's hard to believe, isn't it? In some relationships, we have mercy. People wrong us. They betray our trust. They do things to us we don't want. And for most of us, for most people, we can find it in our hearts to be merciful to them, at least the first time that happens. But if that same person breaks our trust again, how merciful are we then? And how many times does it take for that person to experience the end of our fuse? And yet, though we struggle to have our mercy last for just two or three offenses, the mercies of our God, Jeremiah says, never cease. They just go on forever. Look at the way he describes his mercy in verse 23. He says, his mercies begin afresh each morning. It's like, you know, I wake up every morning desperate for a good cup of coffee and praise the Lord every morning. In that cupboard is the substance that my body craves. And the Lord is saying to us, listen, we don't have to worry about getting up one day and God's just going to say, I'm done. That, you know what, you've tested my patience too far and it's over. Every morning, there is a fresh batch of mercy from God waiting for us. He knows he's going to have to give that to us daily, because he's know we're going to find new ways to need his mercy daily. But with that mercy comes the blessing that we need to grow, the relationships and the mentors, the experiences that we need to grow. He intends not just to forgive us and to be patient with us, but to make us into new people. And all of that, his mercy is fresh for us every day. And his desire, his deep and genuine desire, is to give that to us, for us to enjoy his mercy and to live believing we're forgiven, live believing that we will be forgiven, even if we blow it. That our God, his love for us is faithful and his mercies for us, they will never cease. Look at the way he closes this section in verse 23. He says, great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. God truly is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He truly is the shepherd who is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. He truly is a rock and a foundation that cannot be moved. These images and themes we love to think about and sing about, the reality is far truer than we could ever understand. He really, truly is faithful. Listen to the anthemic words of those who have followed God before us. Solomon, he says, praise the Lord, who's given rest to his people just as he promised. Not one word has ever failed of all of the promises he gave. Listen to Peter. If you're suffering, keep doing what's right and trust your lives to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. Listen to Paul. He will keep you strong to the end. God will do this, for he is faithful. It's almost like every believer who's gone before us goes to the end shouting, just keep running towards him, because you're going to make it, because he's going to be faithful. You can believe it. Our God is faithful. I have learned so much about God's faithfulness in the last several years. You know, all of life is a big, fat, huge lesson in the faithfulness of God. But the last several years have been wild years for me, for my family. Little story time. So first story will be one that I'm not proud of and very thankful for, learning about God's faithfulness to challenge and grow us. When I first started off serving the Lord as a pastor, it was like Disneyland for me. The churches that I got saved in and was introduced to following the Lord in, most pastors, their experience was very challenging. They usually either were working and their families were working to try to make a living. They pastored small churches and small communities, and just it was a very kind of struggling denomination. And that was really what I thought I was signing up for when I was called to follow the Lord. And then I got this like Disneyland job working as a youth pastor at Calvary, which was like nuts. I was a youth pastor of a church of high schoolers that was bigger than any church I'd been a part of. I was 21, never should have gotten that job. I was hired to be a youth pastor before I'd ever met one. So it was a lot of risk they took on me. And I started serving the Lord. But then in serving the Lord, I started just, you know, devoting so much time to that ministry effort. My wife and I, we had met while I was going to school, working and traveling, doing music and serving in churches and life at a million miles an hour. And then we got married and started serving at Calvary and started just dumping all sorts of hours into that youth program. And it worked because that was kind of what we had done before, just now we're doing it one church as opposed to all over traveling and doing stuff. And then we had a kid, our firstborn, Jaden. And at that time, I was probably putting 80 hours a week into doing ministry a lot. Just Sundays were big days during the week, big evenings. We had like the monthly guys thing at the house, the monthly leadership thing, the weekly early morning prayer thing, the weekly campus thing, the monthly Jesus, you know, it was like really great until I'd been married to a wife before. I'd never been married to a mom. And that all changed when she had our firstborn. And now, what used to be like the shoulder-to-shoulder experience was she's at home surviving my firstborn, who pretty much didn't sleep the first year of his life. And I'm out there, you know, killing it for Jesus, right? We go to a camp. You should have been there. Jaden was 4 months old, 5 months old. And I'm thinking, this is great. We had for months been working together with other churches in the Northern California area to put on a cost-affordable but well-done camp for high school students, because there's great camps, but they're usually really expensive. And so we're like, what if we could do something like half that price and pull it together? And so we pulled resources together with some of the larger Calvaries and did it. And it was like this epic, great, one of the most successful events as a pastor I've ever hosted, one of the most epic failures as a husband and father I've ever live through. You could be a great pastor and a terrible husband and dad all at the same time, and I lived that out through that week. So we hit a wall that week, and my wife and I, we sat down, we had a heart-to-heart, and I realized at that moment I had been pouring way too much time and energy into the, quote, ministry, and had been neglecting my greater responsibility to my wife and my family. And I needed a real serious schedule and heart and focus and attitude adjustment. And you know what I found out right then and there? The Lord is faithful. I am so incredibly grateful to God that I hit that wall then and not when my kids were teenagers and now it's gone, or when my marriage was failed. Because how many pastors, their story is life was great, they got married, life got complex, they ended up cheating on their wife because of blah. Like, right, that could have been my story, but because of God's unending faithfulness, we hit that wall and he was faithful to forgive me and to remake me. And he's still working very hard on all of that. Praise God for his faithfulness. Spin the clock forward. We then start really serving at Calvary, and it's like, great, again, Disneyland. I had like a dream job. Get paid to do what you want to do. Who gets that kind of opportunity in life, right? And then I get this itch, this bug, this drive to plant a church. And I get the backing of Calvary Chapel to start making weekly trips into the East Bay, into Berkeley, to go think about planting a church in Berkeley. I start networking out there, building relationships. It's all exciting. I'm kind of repeating the past just in a new flavor of ignorance and stupidity and young, ambitious, blah. So I get out there, and while I'm doing that, I build a friendship with a guy who plants a church in San Francisco, who a year later I end up going to take his place. Long story, skipping a lot of details. You're bored already, I can tell. So we get there, and it turns into, again, on the ministry side, a very fruitful experience, but on a personal level, one of the most challenging and trying periods of our life and marriage. We ended up in the Bay Area, what my poor wife and family did, because I, as a man, was looking for what God had made me to do and not looking for, as a family, what God had called us to do. And those are two very different kinds of questions. Instead of looking at the responsibilities I was given and the opportunities I was given and saying, Lord, how can I steer my life in a way that all of these things flourish? I was just looking at the things inside of me or the things that I felt excited about or, driven by, and just going after those things. So we end up in San Francisco, and I am all the while, praying, fasting, meeting with leaders, being prayed for, go for it, rah. And you know what? I truly believe, looking back now, I missed it. I missed it. Now, did God in his sovereignty want me there in San Francisco, or how does that all work out? I don't understand. But here's what I really do believe. I was looking for God's will, and I made a decision, and I probably could have made a much wiser, godlier, more responsible decision in that time. But we did it. But how does the story end? If you end up making the wrong decision, what happens? God is faithful. That's what happens. When you try to follow him and you don't make the right decision, guess what? It's all good. Now, it's painful, challenging. Get it right the first time, if at all possible. Absolutely. But I'm here to tell you that because I believe in God's faithfulness, I'm a little less concerned to make a mistake. Very much feel the weight of my responsibilities, but I'm not paralyzed thinking, if I make the wrong decision here, who knows what terrible things might happen. If I make the wrong decision, God will be faithful to kick me in the rear end and make me a wiser, godlier, more broken man. Absolutely. And I don't want to sign up for that stuff voluntarily any day. Any day. But I don't have to worry about making the mistakes. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it's not my responsibility. It's his to make sure I get to where he wants me to be. And so long as I keep my eyes on him, as long as I'm looking for him, he will be faithful. Then this Calvary thing happens, which we've talked a little bit about, and I don't need to go into all the details of, but boy, 18 months ago, what a wild scene of events. And I was put into a position where it was very hard to understand what is the right way forward, and I did my darndest to try to figure that whole thing out. At the end of it, ended up unemployed, which was a pretty big deal. So where does that story go, I'm trying to follow the Lord, trying to be faithful, jobless. Right. And I was only unemployed for 10 days, by God's grace. 10 days. What I've watched over the last several years of my life is this. I'm a knucklehead, and God is faithful. If I just try to give God a chance to do something through my life, I'll probably mess it up. But at the end of the day, not my stupidity or ignorance or inexperience or ambition or selfishness or pride or blah, 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 blah. His faithfulness. That's what's going to get the end of the day. I share what I share with you today to say, if you look back this year, I'll bet you have stories just like I have mine. I just happen to have the microphone. And you have stories of God's faithfulness, probably of your stupidity too. Come on, let's be real. I'm not the only one up here confessing sin. Y'all got your junk too, right? But what isn't it the story? Here's where I blew it, and here's where God was faithful. Here's where I thought it was over, and here's where God was faithful. Here's where I didn't quite understand, and I tried, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? God was faithful. You know who Mark Lowry is? I don't know if you know who he is, but he's hilarious. He talks about living on a houseboat on a lake, and he got this really sweet deal on this boat, and he's wondering what the deal was, and his early on living there in this houseboat on this lake, he wakes up one morning to hear a train coming down their lake. But he says, there ain't no train on this lake. And he opens the windows and rain's coming in sideways, and he realizes there's a tornado coming down their lake. And his boat starts bucking and rocking, and he's freaking out, and as only Mark Lowry could tell it, he says, and then my ADD kicked in, and he was like, wow, that's really cool. And then the boat flips upside down, and the next morning he shows up, and everybody's at the diner and trying to make sure everybody's okay. And he says, you know what? I'd have had a lot more fun if I knew I was going to live through all that. And you know what? Going into 2017, the Lord intends for us to have that kind of a pressure release. What does a person look like who really believes that God's going to be faithful? Listen, you're going to be broken. You're going to be difficult. Did I always have a skip and a step and a hum through all of that? No. But by God's grace, because I believed in his faithfulness, he kept me together. There's peace that passes understanding. There's hope. for tomorrow when you believe in God's faithfulness. There's rest in that. There is strength. Strength that's beyond your experience or your maturity as a Christian. It really does come when you take your eyes off of the rubble and you put them onto the Lord and you say, you know what? No, God has been faithful and he will be again. He has always been faithful to me. Do you know what it's like to wrestle with your heart and to like Jeremiah, push yourself to believe in God's faithfulness? How do you do that? Let me close just with a little practical how-to. How can you as a person find real help and hope in God's faithfulness when life is kind of like rubble around you? Number one, go back to those stories. You have them. Go back to them. Because here's what's true for every single one of you. God has already been faithful to you. And you probably have recognized it some ways. In ways, he's been faithful to us in more ways than we'll ever know. But there's probably ways, I'm almost certain of it. Do you know that there's ways God's been faithful to you? Go back and remember those times. Those past victories of God in our life can become very present help as we're looking out into the prospect of our future with uncertainty. And then here's another one. Don't just remember your own stories, but be in real Christian community. Yes, get involved in a life group. Surround yourself with friends, because when those difficult times come, sometimes you're going to need somebody else's stories to borrow. I'm not kidding. I can't tell you how many times I've been just in the dumps looking at my own rubble, and then somebody shares their story. They don't even know that I'm like, because like you, I'm really good at pretending like everything's cool on the outside, you know? Maybe I'm not as cool. Maybe y'all are like, no, we read you like a book. But I think I got it all figured out. It's the beard. It hides things. But I'm sitting in a life group meeting, or I'm sitting and somebody's coming to me for prayer and saying, I'm going through this, but you know what? Praise the Lord. And I'm just like, yes, yes, praise the Lord. Nobody is meant to live this Christian life alone. Be in real community and borrow people's stories when you need them. And then lastly, praise the Lord for his faithfulness even when you can't feel it. That's what Jeremiah is doing. His city's in flames. His temple's destroyed. His people are being taken away captive. And what is he doing? Oh, he's getting emo. He's being real. But he also celebrates the Lord's faithfulness. You know that big hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness? It's penned as an afterthought of this moment, because a man decided in a moment when he didn't feel like it, when he couldn't see it, to just stop and say something that's true. God has been faithful. And great is his faithfulness. So whether you're journaling it, whether you're praying it, whether you're singing it, put that song on. Put people around you to sing it. Get in church where we do sing and celebrate it. Great is his faithfulness. So there's only one way to close this thing out. Got to sing the hymn. I'll just quote it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's pray. Father, we stop and we celebrate your faithfulness. We say to you that we love you, that we thank you, that you have held us, that you have kept us, that every time we have felt ourselves thrown to the bottom, we find that underneath truly are those everlasting arms. Thank you, Lord, that we can, in a very reasonable way, look to the future, as uncertain as it may seem, with hope. Thank you, God, that the foolishness and the insecurities and the fears that so often seem to be setting the tone for our lives ultimately will not get the end and will not get the final say, because you are faithful. Help us, Lord, to believe that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, that you will forgive us. Your word says that if we will confess our sins, that you will be faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us Wash us clean from all unrighteousness. Help us to believe that this morning and to ask you for forgiveness. Help us to believe that you truly will get us all the way to the end because you are faithful. Help us to believe that not one good word that you've spoken over us will ever fall to the ground or fail us. Lord, we are insecure, and it's very hard for us to trust you. We have learned to distrust so many people ourselves. Help us not to superimpose those same insecurities and fears on you, but to find in you a new kind of security, a new kind of trust, that our lives might be built more and more in a hope-filled, excited, expectant kind of a way. Lord, make 2017 a year of us growing to trust you. Make 2017 a year of us daily coming to you for mercy, confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness. Make 2017 a year where we don't sit paralyzed wondering if we make a mistake, how that's all going to go, but help us just to follow you and to be free. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.